This is The Podcast, a weekly debate by two brothers, Texelly and Gunselly. Join the discussion on thepodcast.com. That is the words The Podcast with an E tacked at the end. Follow The Podcast on Twitter as @ThePodcast, and don't forget to add the E at the end of that. Now we join our program already in progress.
Hey, this is Gunselly from Washington, D.C.
Episode 68.
Hey, this is Gun from Washington, D.C.
And this is Textel in the Sullivan Compound.
Deep in the heart of Denali in Alaska.
I'm trying to get my children to go to sleep for the past hour.
Yeah. Also, an army of hybrid electro-brained monkeys, but I guess it's more of an accomplishment to get your kids in bed.
Yeah, one of them is a lot harder than the other things.
So most people would have started with the army of deadly cyborg primates, but you know, I understand you're as a father, you have a different view of things. Okay, we've been talking a lot about next year, the everyday content, how we're going to go about that. And one of the things I wanted to talk to you about tonight, this is stuff we could have done off air, but we're very busy voters. We're very busy voters with this dude, different things. So I want to talk to you about 3 tweets a day minimum. Can we handle that?
No, it's probably doable.
Okay. If we did 3 from each of us, that would be pretty awesome. That would be more than awesome. That would be getting it out there, the most maximum potential of our reach there. But I'll settle for the first quarter of us just having 3 solid topical tweets about news. I think we should start out with like a news tweet in the morning, like, hey, ABC News says this, blah, blah, blah. Is that real news or fake news? And then like later on in the day, we'll promote something from the website where we break down what's real news and what's fake news. Excuse me. Pardon me. I think that's the best thing that we do, is break down what's real news and what's fake news. What will affect you and what won't really affect you. You're probably not going to get Ebola, but the CISA standards will probably affect the way you live. You know, so there's the real news concepts and the fake news concepts. Yes, Ebola is a real thing.
You probably won't be raped by Cosby, but you probably should be aware of what can happen to you at a party.
Yes. That is true. One of the things right now, I was writing a really big fixture. I need to tweak it a little bit because it seems pretty mean at the moment, and I don't want to completely alienate and ostracize or completely alienate and pick off my Black Lives Matter friends, but yeah, I was pretty down on the whole what the Black Lives Matter protesters are protesting. They are protesting vending machines for killing people, you know. I made a pretty dead on basically the Black Lives Matter movement is not really saying all life in the hood and in the black community on the streets of Southeast DC, on the streets of Baltimore and Chicago matter. They're not saying that whatsoever. They are saying that there is a genocide of all black people being done by the police, which is complete nonsense. And if you look at actually what kills people in the black community more than anything, first you're going to see health things, then you're going to see violence. You know, you're going to see the gang violence
car accidents, just straight up car accidents. You know,
car accidents, stuff like that, stuff that affects everyone. Way down on the list, almost a statistical non-issue would be white police on black youth violence. So the fact that they are protesting that would make about as much sense as fat guys running out on the street to protest vending machines always killing us because vending machines tipping over on people kill about 4 people a year. If you were to do the spread, if you were to look at the spread of evil white cops killing unarmed black people in the streets, there's actually more vending machines killing people by falling on them than that. And of course, why would someone not go out and say, hey, we need to avenge the death of these people? Well, what would you say? What would you say if I said, my buddy died under a vending machine he was rocking? Will you come to the street and protest with me his death? What would you say to me? About my buddy. About how he died.
Yeah, you're like, what was he doing that caused the vending machine to fall on him?
Yes. My buddy was rocking the vending machine, and he had a good reason to. He had put the amount of money in there, and the Coke didn't come out, so he was tilting the machine back and forth. So will you come to the streets to protest vending machines with me?
Yeah, probably not.
Okay, and the reason why is because you don't want to validate stupid behavior. And as I wrote in the piece that I still haven't dropped yet, but I wrote that when my BLM friends, that's Black Lives Matter, I'm being short with them, I'm truncating it, when they are telling me this stuff, when they're getting upset because I'm you know, kind of pointing out, hey, like the kid in Cleveland, he had a toy gun in his hand that he had intentionally modified to make it look like a real gun. And he was tormenting people. He was running up to people and scaring people in a park. He's on video doing it. And they go, well, yeah, but he was 12. He was 12. He was 12. He was 12. It was horrible. He shouldn't have been shot. Okay, just answer me this question. Would you be doing what he did right before he got shot? Would you run around in a park scaring people with a fake gun? And generally, the answer is no. I have honestly had a few friends that were so stubborn they would refuse to admit that they would not do something crazy. But most people will say, well, I wouldn't do that, but still, he shouldn't have been shot. That's normally the response is, well, I wouldn't have done it, but still, he shouldn't have been shot. Okay, fine. I agree with that. I think our police should have more of a handle on all levels of projectile non-lethal stopping power, like Rahm Emanuel says in Chicago, with equipping officers with tasers and stuff like that. But you've just admitted that the stuff the guy was doing beforehand was stupid. It was a bad idea. It was something that could get you killed. It may have even been suicidal. It may have been suicidal behavior. And you are going to validate that suicidal behavior by saying, you know, oh, he was murdered. He was murdered. Well, no, now you're just validating the craziest theories out there that are, police just want to murder all the black children. And not just police, but all big people want to murder all black people.
At the time, you and I both said the same thing. You know, you and I never would have done this because our mother said, don't do this because you'll get shot. You know,
hey, our mother specifically confiscated stuff from me that looked too much like a hand cannon.
Yeah, she told us, you know, she would frisk you before social events or, you know, church, school, you know, family events to make sure you didn't have anything that looked even vaguely weapon-like.
I was still scared about the one because I was the giant CO2 car pistol. I was well beyond the age of like not knowing when I should play with a gun or not play with a gun. I was well beyond it. I was like 16 or something, and that thing just went up and missing, and I was like, "Oh, come on!"
but the thing is you know, I've got a kid that's 11, you know, which is, you know, close in age. She makes completely stupid mistakes all the time, and so I mean. Part of me is like, okay, this is, you know, tragedy all around.
Yeah, you get the tragedy. You cannot deny the tragedy of a family losing a 12-year-old.
And I'm thinking, okay, you know, had this cop had a cooler head for, you know, 30 seconds more and just, you know, sat further back, you know, because if there's, you know, if he was like, oh, look at the mannerisms, you know, is this a kid? You know, because you can tell a kid by their motion. You know, they hurt, they jerk, they, you know, they don't walk,
still getting used to the growth spurt, yeah. Still getting used to the growth spurt, you know.
Yeah, they walk around like they've borrowed these bodies, you know. And so I'm thinking, you know, there's... I still think, hey, there's this guy should not be, he shouldn't be wielding deadly force as a job. You know, I still come down on that. You know, this shouldn't be his career path, because. You know, I see these kids, you know, I work with them with Boy Scouts. And we did a carving thing the other day. You lose focus for a second, one of these kids put a knife through his hand. And we were taking every single precaution possible. They're, at that age, they're highly distractible. They're, you know, and they're right in this age range, you know. You can't imagine what 12 years old is like. They're just they're hummingbirds, you know. My thing is this is a horrible tragedy, and I wouldn't tell the parent, hey, you screwed up. But if I was a neighborhood mother, I'd be like, hey, give me anything in your possession that looks like a gun. You ain't ever playing with that again.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things, you know.
So I wouldn't. Here's the thing. I don't think you need to post your article. You know, I don't think you need to go toe to toe with Black Lives Matter protesters, but. I think we could say, hey, here's a good chance to talk with your kids about, you know, make sure, white, black, yellow, red, whatever color your skin happens to be, don't be waving around anything that looks like a weapon.
Well, and being in the community.
Yeah, I think we talked about the guy who had a sprinkler. Yeah, he wasn't a kid, but, you know, he got shot because he had a sprinkler, and he was drunk, and the cops were like, drop the gun, and he goes, I don't have a gun.
Right.
What are you talking about? And,
yeah.
You know, they've shot him 17 times, and the reason he didn't drop what he had in his hands is because his brain wasn't processing, I have something that could look like,
yeah,
in the dark, like a gun. He had a water sprinkler.
I understand. But here's my issue is you need to listen to what the people like who are driving the protest, what they are saying. And listening to a lot of these speeches, and it's really painful to listen. And it does elucidate me to a lot of the the opinions that I come across when I've been working in black communities, and you know, kids will literally just come up and you know, ask me if I'm in the Ku Klux Klan because of the color of my skin, and it's like, you know, what? Like, do you understand that those are bad guys? And they and the kids don't know what all the words mean and that, so they're like, oh, you know, and it's just literally because they thought all white people were in the Ku Klux Klan. All white people want to kill black people. All white people are bad. And, of course, these are the most extreme of the extreme, but the most extreme of the extreme are driving some of these situations. And a lot of people, anybody who wants to tell me, or like the one lady, I said how a lot of my friends, you know, who post the black nationalist stuff and the Black Lives Matter stuff, they're always saying black people need to come together as a nation, which if you're in the black nationalist movement, if you are a black nationalist, if you're in the Black Lives Matter movement, I'm sure you've heard that phrase a lot. It's said a lot. It's on memes. It's things that people just say in conversation. Black people need to come together as a nation. It's a statement that, you know, I refute and break down, and I've had some great arguments with people about, but because it's inherently at its core racist. But when I said this to one of my friends who's very liberal, a very liberal white woman who works in I don't remember where she worked, I believe it was a government nonprofit, and I said, you know, I was sort of breaking down how anti-liberal that statement is, because, you know, as a progressive person, I'm for integration, and that's a super pro-segregation statement. And before I could even continue with what I was saying, she stops and just says super condescendingly, "I've never heard any of my black friends say that." And I'm thinking, okay, that's great. So you're calling me a liar or something. It's like, and I'm just thinking, okay, you've just told me you're not really in the community. You don't really listen to what people are saying. Because if you do hang out watching some of the you know, black empowerment speeches and stuff like that, some of the World Star Hip Hop blog spots, you will hear this stuff. So when she said that to me, super condescendingly, it was I just had to break down for her, like, well, people say that, not making this up. And she's like, I'm not saying you're making it up. I'm just saying, I've never heard that. I'm like, yeah. Okay, well, it's out there. You can feel free to look it up. It's very commonplace. But, and it just goes to show you the ignorance of people supporting the Black Lives Matter movement. They will support it without actually listening to what the people are thinking and saying. You know, people think that they are saying black lives, as in, you know, people who are like us, but their skin is darker, matter. You cannot disagree with that. I can't disagree with that. I just don't know why you had to say black in front of it. Everybody's life matters, of course. But that's not why the Black Lives Matter movement is out there. It's confusing to you because you're thinking, well, of course Black Lives Matter. We have fully black people in our family. We are part black. Of course we would think Black Lives Matter. We are fully integrated into society, and we see the world as an integrated world. Well, the Black Lives Matter movement feels the need to segregate black people in the life matter department of their brain because they truly and thoroughly believe that black people all have targets on them by white people. Now, once again, if you looked at the actual statistics, it would be a negligible statistic of white-on-black violence. But it doesn't stop people from posting. Whenever there is a racist person, a racist white person ranting, they're posting videos of that. Whenever there's, and I mean, it'll be the one wasn't even a truly racist woman. It was a woman with mental illness, and she's saying all across the board crazy stuff. And yet people are passing around this video going, look at this racist woman. See how these white people are? And it's like, it's one woman who is mentally ill with, you know, the big old handicap license plate and saying crazy stuff. And they'll pass it around saying, see, this is evidence. All white people are like this woman.
Yeah,
What was that?
My point is I don't know. I mean, you know, in our podcast, we can explain this at length. You know, we can say, hey, here's the long details. You know, I don't know if you need to, you know, battle out your Black Lives Matter friends online, because they're going to read two lines of it and go, oh, this guy disagrees with me clearly is with the KKK, and then ignore the rest.
Yeah, so that's what I explained in what I've written, people will go along with the Black Lives Matter because they're afraid of just being, you're against what we're saying? Like, no, I'm against one part of the angle of what you're saying, and they'll go, nope, you want all black people murdered in a genocide. And so, of course, no one wants to be called that, so everyone just says, okay, hashtag Black Lives Matter. And they'll ignore the fact that...
So what I'm saying is, you know, kid runs up and goes, hey, are you with the KKK? You say, no, actually, I support Black Lives Matter. You know, throw him for the loop, turn it into the spin, you know, put the ball in his court.
I'm talking about little kids who are just picking up stuff people are saying.
That's what I'm saying, yes. I'm saying, you know, put the ball in his court.
Hopefully the little kid wouldn't know what Black Lives Matter is.
That's what I'm saying. You know, put the ball completely in his court.
I'm not trying to put balls in courts of little kids. I'm trying to help elucidate some of our friends who are still buying into this whole Black Lives Matter movement. And the biggest thing too is there really is a genocide against African Americans that's been going on, since the early 1900s, like, the 19-teens. There really is a planned and strategic genocide of the entire race of African Americans that involves segregation and segregation, sterilization, and abortion, and basically a cultural branding of you are black, you have to stay with your kind. That is a real thing. That is a terrible, terrible thing that has been happening ever since Margaret Sanger started her philanthropic outputs back in the 1900s. And if you want to look on
the syphilis testing and the...
Yeah. Here's the thing. She was truly... When police are in black neighborhoods, they are there to do police work. They are there to try to break up a fight. They are there to... When that cop pulled up in Cleveland, there was a predominantly black area. That kid, who he thought was a grown man, because he was a pretty tall guy, the kid was scaring black people. He thought he was protecting black people from an armed gunman in an active shooter situation. That's what he thought. Now, Margaret Sanger, on the other hand, who put that abortion clinic in down the street in your neighborhood, she put that there because she wanted all black people to be wiped out. She wanted them to help the white world wipe out black people. That's what she wanted. And she wanted this to be a nice, gentle... just go gently into that sweet night for one quarter of the world's population. just put the pillow over their heads like one flew over the cuckoo's nest. Now, that's dark. And of course, which is an easier bad guy? A white guy with body armor and a gun, or an old dead woman that you'd have to read to find out how bad she was? Oh my gosh, I have to read? I'm an American. I can't read. What are you talking about? I can only read Facebook statuses and tweets. That's all I can read. You're going to tell me that there is an actual genocide, but I have to do two things to find out about it? Nope. I'm just going to say that all white cops are out to kill all black people, and that makes sense to me. Even though all you're going to do is allow for criminals, which are...
people don't even read the full statuses anymore. They read the first... I've noticed that people, you know, because the one time I was even joking, and I put a status that got, like, progressively worse as you read down, you know, out there, and people were liking it, and I'm like, no, yeah, if you actually read the whole thing, you'd be, like, horrified.
Yeah.
People don't actually even read the full statuses anymore. It was a joke. You know, the whole thing was a joke. But, you know, if people were, anyway. Yeah, so.
I was very proud of my friend.
What I'm telling you is, here's the thing where, you know, during the Democrat debate where, people were booing and hissing at Bernie Sanders, who freaking knew, and protested with, Martin Luther King, when he was like, well, of course all lives matter. People never dive deep into the issue. It's always right. A sound bite. And that's all you're ever going to get with people when you're dealing with them one-on-one. And so when you have the novel length of time, or when you have the podcast level of time, then yes, you can completely flesh out the thoughts. But I would say when it comes to the Facebook status or the little kid running up to you on the street, keep it short and simple. With your friends, be supportive.
Okay. How about if I title it, because we know that the title is the real issue. We could say, "Black Lives Matter protests ignore real genocide on Black community." Think of that.
I guess if you're determined to go down this route,
I am because I use the term rupsy tufsy tippecanoe for tipping over vending machines at one point, and I really want to get that out there to the world.
Okay.
Also, I would just like to take the time to say, I hope everyone had a happy Hanukkah, a Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year. And, of all the black friends that I have, I did not see one Kwanzaa post. So, I think, are we done? Are we done with that? Like, as a country, are we done? Because I've never seen anyone, I've heard plenty of them say, nobody celebrates Kwanzaa. So, do you know anyone who celebrates Kwanzaa?
It's still technically going on. It's going on from the 26th through the 1st. So there are there's a couple more days going on.
I'm just trying to ask if you personally know anyone who celebrates.
Yes, but not in the area here. Newham in Seattle.
Okay, all right, then we will say Happy Kwanzaa. All right, so happy. I hope everyone had a happy Hanukkah, had a happy, a Merry Christmas, is having a happy Kwanzaa, and will have a happy New Year. I hope everyone had a good Boxing Day.
Yeah, there you go. I was on the, I was invited on the corn day, so way to bring a corn dish. It was actually very neat. It's kind of a pan-Africanism thing. My hosts were dressed in some straight up normal American garb. One of their friends who was from
which made you feel silly since you showed up with your dashiki and kufi and you were just like, ah. Oh, we're going all in here, folks.
It was warm as heck that year in Seattle too, so I think I might have even been wearing. I wasn't wearing shorts because that probably. I remember people being a little more dressed up. I remember being a little underdressed for the party, most of the people from West Africa were there, and it was a really neat thing because a lot of candles, and. It was a lot of fun. I like being able to experience, other cultures and all that. And so I even tried I'm so glad that nobody had cell phones then, but, I tried my hands at a dance.
Yeah, that would have been all over the place.
Cell phone cameras are, I like to think I have rhythm, but I would also like to not have video proof of it.
Yeah. I know you like all your, you did multicultural by going to one day of a Kwanzaa thing. Well, when I was, when the bishop ushered me to eat with the congregation after I worked in arm detail at a Gezrite Orthodox Ethiopian Catholic Church, that's what I would consider a good multicultural experience, but you had a good day there. Dancing around with your corn. Good for you, civilians. All right, there was a crazy news story here in Washington, D.C., where the Beltway, whenever people say the Beltway, inside the Beltway, that's actually a interstate highway called 495 that loops around Maryland and Virginia. And at one point on Sunday, this very last Sunday, a crowd of ATVs and dirt bikes started driving down the wrong way of the Beltway. They shut down the Beltway to do stunts and harass drivers. And apparently drove up to people's windows and were being belligerent. And then, of course, people were calling the police. And guess who didn't show up in time? So it was hundreds of dirt bikes and ATVs, according to some reports. But I'll try to find the video so we can post it up on the...
Sounds like a way to, have a serious head-on collision, and you are not wearing a seatbelt if you're on an ATV.
Yeah. Or a dirt bike. I don't think those have seatbelts. I'm pretty sure you're going to be,
I thought you were going to talk about the stupid affluenza teen.
Oh, that is, that's disgusting. And that was one of the things, too, where people were trying to talk to me about how, you see, this is the same judge who put this woman away for 10 years and, for doing this little thing, and then you let that guy go. I was like, yeah, that judge is terrible. It doesn't mean all white people are like that.
He's a terrible judge.
He's a horrible person, and he stuck it for being a terrible, horrible person who is clearly racist. And has no regard for the sanctity of human life. Oh man, don't you just want to go down to Juarez or wherever that kid is and beat the crap out of him?
I think if you raise your kid terribly, so terribly that he's not responsible for his own actions, you should be responsible for his actions. In other words, you should pay the penalty.
So you're saying the parent should do the jail time for the kid?
Well, especially if they're underage. You know, he was underage and doing this stuff. I mean, so, you know, if one of my kids, you know, ends up boosting a car and running over something, I would fully expect to be clapped in irons.
Yeah, I think the kid still should have gotten taken downtown.
Yeah, I think the kid should have, but I also think the parents.
It's the boot out.
Yeah, it takes.
Yeah, well, the mother's going to be doing 10 years for
helping in violent parole.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I would like to come out and say good. All right. Well, I need to wrap this up. So.
All right. Vaya con Dios, and have a good New Year.
All right. And we didn't have anybody email them about saying what they thought was their funnest episode was for the year.
Yeah. There was I don't have it in front of me, but it was definitely the.
Vote for you.
I'm completely blanking. It was one of my favorites too. I'll have to dig it out.
Our number one post for the year on the website was the one where you talked in Tagalog.
Yes.
The most views, so.
Salamat, Filipinas.
Exactly. Oh, thank you.
Good. Thank you. Thank you, Philippines. All right, bro. I will talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.